Sports Radio 550 presents Sports Talk Saturday.
32 yards from the center of the field. Adam Lingner ready to snap it back. It's 38 all. Bills can win it here. Wright puts it down. The kick is on the way, and it is good. And the Bills have won it.
McCoy breaking a tackle. McCoy into the end zone, and Buffalo wins it. Incredible.
This is behind Cooper, who brought it in, pitched it back to Allen, who's going to go to the goal line and get in. No! Spectacular touchdown.
3-2-1. The Bills are in the Super Bowl for the first time in their history. It took 25 years to get there, and they did it in championship style.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
It is bedlam. It is pandemonium. It is fandemonium. It is fantastic.
Feeling a little nostalgic here with this open.
Yeah.
It is likely the end of Highmark Stadium tomorrow.
Likely is. Again, never say never, but more than likely it will be.
It hit me yesterday.
It hit me.
It stinks that I have to keep saying it like that. Mm-hmm. It's not definitive.
No, tomorrow's essentially the eulogy, though.
But it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Why?
We don't know.
I mean, you could dance around it by legitimately saying it's the regular season finale. That's a definitive.
I guess.
There will not be another regular season game played at that Highmark Stadium.
That is probably a good way to go about it. Mm-hmm. Good job, Joe. Thank you. Thank you for helping me with my quandary. This is Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly here with you. And
It started to hit yesterday. Hearing a lot of callers call in, talk about memories they had, a lot of older callers who used to go to games with their parents who may not be here anymore, right? Like all of that. Like there is a... Everyone kind of has an emotional attachment to the stadium one way or another, right? An experience, I don't know. My grandfather was a cement mason and poured the original building in 1973. Like, of course, it's been redone since. But, like, people who've had families work on that building, the original, right? Like, it's the same connections you're going to get from this new building being built. But, like, you go back and look at it. It is a pretty nostalgic thing to look back on. And I don't know. I all season it's been the farewell season and whatever, but you haven't really thought about it. You've just been more worried about the on-field product.
You've been more worried about the
product. You know, the Bills are, you know, they've won 11 games. They're 11-5, have the opportunity to go 12-5. So it's definitely not like a lost season by any means. They've just been more frustrating this year than years past. So that kind of takes away from it. But now when it's like the thing, right, which I kind of love that it's the thing. If this was a game that had stakes and they lose in the final game of Highmark, that's a sour taste to leave in the mouth. This is a Bills-Jets game that
Ask
means...
Ask Oakland fans.
Right, exactly. This is a Bills-Jets game that effectively means nothing whether you'll be the 6 or 7 seed, right? And, I mean, sure, that could mean something, whatever, but I'd rather be able to focus on the farewell, which they seem to be doing, than worry about the result and then have it stain the farewell, because this building deserves its own farewell. You know what I'm saying? And now,
and if it was a playoff game, for example,
yes,
it's a playoff game at home, and
they get knocked out in the wild card at home in the final game at Highmark, that would not be great. Now, if they come back for an AFC championship, you've bid the building farewell already, right? If that off chance does happen in the playoffs, like you've gotten the pageantry out of the way, so now you're worried about the game. Right. And yes, it will suck for that final game if they do lose that game. Right. Knocking on wood that none of this actually materializes. But you're getting the pageantry out of the way. You're getting the farewell out of the way.
Now, that said, there are stakes to this game.
Sure.
They lose, we will never see another game in that building ever again.
Right.
That is it. Also, you would have lost to the Jets.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I don't think they will. I think they are playing.
I think their backups will play better than the Jets. But
that's also probably true. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to go out on a loss, and you definitely don't want to go on a loss where, yeah, you actually really do sign away, yeah, this is the end. And it's not even your guys that get to do it. It's not your star players. People that are flocking to the last game of Highmark Stadium, I will say I do hate the fact that they are being, I don't want to say gypped or ripped off here, but some of the experience does get watered down.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchell Trubisky is probably playing a solid amount of this game, if not all of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I don't think he's playing all of it. I think Allen's gonna have a series.
I think at most he'll have a quarter.
We're looking at a preseason type of game here.
But at most, I think we get a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And I feel like that does water it down a little bit. Not water it down, but like you don't get the full feel, the real vibe, the fact that they are playing more or less for seeding.
Mm-hmm. But
Some of that might actually already be determined before you even take a snap of the football.
Yeah. Because
the 1 o'clock window shows you what the AFC South looks like. Is Houston going to end up somehow up on top there if Jacksonville were to choke against Tennessee, which I doubt? Or say the Texans win. The best you can do is the 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I think it just doesn't, like, stake-wise, it means really nothing. If anything, I might be in the minority on this, I want him to go play New England. So if they lose the game, I'm not concerned. Daddy's home. Take the division back and advance in the playoffs and knock him out. Like that, I prefer the New England route.
Yes.
So if they lose this game, I'm not crying about it.
It's not that. It's about the experience. It's about the experience of the last game at Highmark Stadium, and it waters down the story that you get to tell the kids. Hey, was that the last game at the old stadium where Ty Johnson and Mitch Trubisky beat the Jets 34-10?
I mean, they are playing the team that they first played at the inception of the stadium.
That part is cool.
So, like, they are going out how they came in.
I think it would have been cool, though, to say that it was Josh Allen and James Cook that did the job and they beat the Jets 34-10. Am I getting highly arrogant over the fact that the Jets are that bad? Yes.
Sure.
That Trubisky and Ty Johnson can do the same damage that Allen and James Cook would? Yes, I'm getting highly arrogant about that, but it has more to do with their opponent than them. That I could say, oh, the Bills' backups will be able to beat them perfectly fine. I don't know. But that's the part that really, I guess, it's sitting with me. I also don't have as much of an attachment to the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But Zach Jones and I did this back on Wednesday. On New Year's Eve, we got a good amount of calls from everybody talking about their memories at Highmark Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who else we can ask about memories of Highmark Stadium? We can ask Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, I know we bring you on here for hockey stuff, but do you have any fond memories, or at least what's your favorite memory of Highmark Stadium?
That's easy. It's the first Winter Classic.
Yes,
I mean, there we go.
I actually covered that game from the glass. So to be out on the field, it's unfortunate to say we've only scored one goal, because the way the noise funneled down to the rink when they did finally score that goal, and of course a sellout crowd was just waiting to go crazy, although there were some Penguin fans there. That's why I always thought the Bills should have been in the division with the Browns and the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane now, but it would even been more insane in those two stadiums. Just the noise, the way it came down, and just the day. Unfortunately, the ice didn't cooperate real well. It was the first one, and they had a lot of things to learn. But the Penguins, Crosby, the Sabres, Miller. It comes down to Crosby and Miller in the end, and just to be down there, reporting live from the glass for RJ and Harry Neal at the time was an honor, and still, I think, the highlight of my career.
And that's another thing, Paul. You bring in an interesting wrinkle, because it's not just about the football games. It is about the hockey games that have been there. There are people that have gone to that stadium for concerts, and it's probably their coolest memory. And you're right. It's good to include things that aren't just about the football games that get played in the building, because it's the building. It's not the teams going away. The building is going away.
Yeah, the concerts used to be crazy there when I was in high school and college. I mean, I've seen the Stones 3 times there. I saw the Who 3 times there. I saw Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. I saw Frampton when he just started getting popular there. U2 recently. That actually was the first time I had been in the stands in the stadium, I think, since college.
Wow.
You know, for the U2 concert. I think I went with Pat Mollicaro, and I was sitting there thinking, when was the last time you sat in these stands for anything? And I had to go back to college. To even when I went to a Bills game in Green Bay, a friend of mine lives in Wisconsin, who I went to college with, and it just happened to be when the Sabres finished up training camp and they had that weekend off before they started regular season preparations. It's the only Sunday in the whole football season I could have gone. And she goes, you want to go to the Packers game and the Bills? Yeah.
There we go.
So, you know, she was very excited because, you know, being a Packers fan, and Kim Pegula invited her down to be on the field for warm-up, which was a big thing for her. And just to be in, like, the cathedral of football. But the same thing, I thought to myself, when was the last time you sat in the stands for a Bills game? And it was college. It was the same. It was the same thing, the same game. That was the last time. So it's been so long. And I've been to a lot of concerts at the arena, but Sabres game? I actually cannot tell you the last Sabre game I sat in the stands for. It probably was college, you know, when I did it. But, yeah, just a lot of great concerts there. And, of course, the football games that, you know, I've been at most of the, you know, Bills games for the last 40 years at home. And, you know, you see the comeback, you see, I mean, just oodles and oodles of them. But just to be a little bit different, I can tell you about the concerts and the hockey game.
Hey, you know what? That's what life's all about, though, Paul. It's mm-hmm. It's the variety. It's the differences. And it's about people saying you're wrong and I hate you. But we're not going to do that because I do love the different perspective there, Paul.
And even I covered for years the high school championships there,
mm-hmm.
you know, for cable and for another radio station. So for years, unfortunately, I was on a football team that would have gone there, but I was 2 years too early.
Ah.
So I didn't get a chance to play there. But, yeah, I very much enjoyed that. Craig and Ron Wolfley both, you know, played in that stadium for those games. And I was able to broadcast one of them, the running back one. And, you know, so that was a lot of fun, too.
And that's awesome, though. Like, that's exactly what we need, those to also add those perspectives. Oh, hey, don't forget about these things. So thank you, Paul. I do appreciate that. Now let's get back to work, though, here. The Sabres looking to win number 11 in a row. And I got to say, even if the streak were to end here today, man, they closed out 2025 with probably their best performance of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. That was their best game of the year. But if you're going to beat the Dallas Stars in Dallas, you better show up with your best game. And they did. And now they have an opportunity this afternoon to set a team record. If they win the hockey game, it's their 11th straight, which is a team record. And I'm sorry, I will say it to somebody's face. Anybody that told me they saw on a 10-game winning streak coming, I will call a liar right to their face. I've had a couple people who are trying to embarrass me on Twitter and, you know, you should have seen this coming. Yeah. Okay. We all saw a 10-game winning streak coming after they had two. And last year they had one 4-game streak, and it was at the end of the year when it didn't matter. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I saw this coming. I said it to you and I said it to a lot of people. If they ever were going to get back into this thing, it was going to take a 10-game winning streak. It actually took 9. And I didn't think, and I said, there is nothing to show us that they are capable of doing that.
And Paul,
and I will readily admit I was wrong, but there was, at the time we were talking about it, there was nothing that would have told us that all of a sudden they're going to run off a long winning streak and get themselves back into the playoff race. And they have done that. They have proven people wrong, and good for them.
And, Paul, it's interesting on the how. Because, like you, I believed you in the fact that, like, yeah, you're right. It will take a lengthy winning streak. And the team over the past couple of years was allergic to those sorts of things. But now there's the how. Paul, it is not just that they are a solid roster. You can very clearly see it. If you're watching the game, the effort is there, and it harkens back to the first thing I think of is Jarmo Kekalainen's words at his opening press conference. You cannot let a lesser talented team outwork you. It's unacceptable. And for this win streak, it really does look like they've answered the bell when it comes to making sure that, yeah, they might be better than some teams, but we're also going to make sure we're going to outwork you too.
That's exactly how they beat the Stars, is outworking mm-hmm. them. And the Stars didn't know what to do. Rob Ray was talking about, he talked to some people up there in the press box. There are a lot of scouts and stuff up there. And they said they had never seen all season a team come in and forecheck the Stars like the Sabres did. You know, and people, we always talk about Thompson and Tuck and Dahlin, but, you know, now we're talking about Malenstein and Dunn and Greenway and the way they get in on other, I mean, they're never in the defensive zone. Do they score? No, but they don't have to. It's not what they're there for. They're there to hem the other line in, to make things difficult around the net, to get the puck to the net, get bodies to the net, win the battles. And if you notice now, when they're on the ice, watch the defensemen. By about the middle of the second period, they're looking over their shoulder to see who's going to hit them. It happens almost every game. And that's, now you've got them, because now you're in their head. They're worried about getting hit, because you have hit them and hit them and hit them and hit them. And I don't mean putting them through the boards. I mean, just, you're constantly getting a piece of them. You're constantly annoying them, you know, and you know, using your size to win battles. And, you know, that's something you've heard me since Granada was around, where I would mm-hmm. say, you know what, when this team plays the way Granada wants them to play, they usually win the hockey game, but they hardly ever do it. And then Lindy Ruff rolls around, and I'm saying the same exact thing. When they play hockey the way Lindy Ruff wants them to play, they are a pretty good hockey team, but they don't do it enough. There's no consistency in their game, and the players constantly talked about they needed to get consistency in their game. And it's like, what is wrong with these guys? Why are they not holding each other accountable to do that? Well, now you get into this, and you know what? Forget about the 10-game winning streak. We can go back to November 15th. If this turns into a good season and a playoff season, to me, the turning point is November 15th in Detroit against the Red Wings. They're down 4-1. That's the first game Dahlin is back from when he was in Sweden with his fiance for a week. And they're down 4-1, and they come back and win the hockey game. They are, including that game, in 22 games, they are 16-6. That's a .727 winning percentage. Only two teams since November 15th are better. The Colorado Avalanche at 18-1-2. You heard that correctly. 18-1-2 at 9:05. And the Minnesota Wild at 18-3-3 at 8:13. Then is the Buffalo Sabres at 16-6 at .727. Since then, they're 6th in goals for, 9th in goals against, 15th on the power play. The penalty kill hasn't been as good. I mean, in that time period, they're 16th on the penalty kill. They're still 2nd overall in the NHL. But, you know, everything of their game has improved. So it's not just these 10 games we're talking about. Really, I think we're talking about the last 22 games.
Paul, we're looking at the Team USA rosters, Derek and I, before the show, and just when they came out yesterday. Before we kind of get
in... Tage Thompson is on it, did you know?
Yeah, we did know. We knew that a little bit beforehand after some reports, too, so we were expecting that. But you and I talked the other day, Paul, and you mentioned, you know, the Alex Tuck situation and him getting onto, possibly getting onto Team USA, and he was not on the list. And I know there are some other notable names not on the Team USA list, but what do you make of Tuck not getting the nod? Because we were talking about his two-way play and everything like that.
Yeah, Trocheck is a joke. You know, JT Miller is a joke. And they're only there because Chris Drury is there as part of the management team. And they go, well, we can't let Fox on too, because then you get into what you had in the Four Nations, where half the Rangers are on the team and don't deserve to be there. I would have Alex Tuck and others ahead of those two guys in a heartbeat. I mean, Trocheck is on the downturn of his career. He does not deserve to be on any Olympic team, unless it's the Japanese Olympic team or something. And it's a joke. So, I mean, the thing is, honestly, if I had to choose between Tuck and Thompson, I would have taken Tuck, because he's a better two-way player. He's one of the best penalty killers in the NHL. He's one of the best guys at making players turn the puck over and then turning it into transition offense. He has scored 36 goals twice in this league. And I just think there's more to him as a player. Not that Thompson doesn't deserve to be on the team. That's not what I'm saying. But if I had to pick one of the two, I would have taken Tuck just because he's a better two-way player. Although, you know what? Against the Stars, I thought Thompson played very well on both ends of the rink. I mean, it wasn't just what we saw offensively. He broke up some plays and killed some plays in the defensive zone. He was hustling to get back. I think that might have been the best defensive game I've ever seen him play, too.
And you know what's kind of funny about, like, including the fact that, like, Trocheck was on this team? In the final, where it goes to overtime, the man plays 10 minutes. They clearly can't trust him. So why is he back? And that's the part that I really think strikes me there. Kreider also was removed from the roster. He played 625 in that final game. But you still have one of the players coming back that you clearly didn't trust in the last game of the Four Nations faceoff. So it is unfortunate, but, you know, it is what it is. We'll see what happens here and the blue-collar mentality that Team USA clearly thinks they need every year. When it comes down to it.
And I thought Thompson should have made the Four Nations, which was long before he scored the golden goal. You know, I think he's earned it. Take away the World Championships. I think he's earned it anyway, you know, to be part of that team. You know, multiple 40-goal years, and, you know, he's capable of taking over a hockey game when he needs to, and then he shows up. And that was important to Guerin, the guys that showed up for the World Championships. Team USA is almost embarrassed how many people don't show up for the World Championships. Canada gets a lot of their good players there. Everybody gets a lot of them. And then Sweden and those teams, they all get their good players there. They want to be there. They get there as quickly as they can get there. Nylander, when the Leafs lost, couldn't get there fast enough. You know, and then Team USA is playing with college guys and guys that are going to be in the draft, and some like Patrick Kane did show up for a couple of years and was their captain. But Guerin really wants to try to change that, and he made it known that you come to the World Championships this year, you're going to be under serious consideration. Keller, I think, would fall into that category. Had a great World Championship. He's a good player, captain of the Utah Mammoth. And, you know, but he took the time to show up, was a big part of that gold medal team, and now he's on the Olympic team. And I don't disagree with that pick at all. I think he deserves to be there also. But it did help some players going to the World Championship and performing there and winning a gold medal.
All right, Paul, we got to keep you on a time schedule so you can get down to the arena for Columbus. And we'll hear from you with Brian Koziel during pregame.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
That's Paul Hamilton right there on the West Hurrah Hotline. Sabres against the Blue Jackets. 3 o'clock today. And your pregame will start right when we're done at 2 o'clock here on a Sports Talk Saturday. When we come back, well, Joe, you started it. You lit the match. Time to go off on it.
Team USA.
I think we're going to go in a little bit on Team USA here coming up next.
In front by Conklin, and another stop. That looked like it was off the mask. Spacek a shot, and that one blocked down by Connolly and laid back out of harm's way by Armstrong. Thrown back by Connolly. Carried on by Paye. Drops to Connolly again. Looks over the traffic. Fed one across. A shot by Connolly. Scores!
Is that the Outdoor Living Network? No, I know that's versus at that moment there.
Wait a second.
That was the Winter Classic.
That was the NBC broadcast. It was on NBC.
That was the Buffalo Winter Classic. It was actually outside in the snow, in the elements, and not in an old supermarket clear out thing that it looks like. Looked like an old run down supermarket. What a nightmare that was. It was disgusting to the naked eye.
There's a lot. And ready? I will talk more about this year's Winter Classic in the next segment. As we all know, that's the booty cheek of the week.
Yeah, that's
so
up
there's
there.
Your spoiler alert. But I want to talk a little bit more about this with the Team USA thing, because you got me thinking on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you lit the firecracker, and I love Paul's words there too. Like, he said it was a joke.
Yeah,
that you have Miller and Trocheck on there. And I'm also going to extend that to Brock Nelson. Nelson was, you know, kind of just there. Kind of got run over against Canada in the Olympics or yep. in the Four Nations because he can't keep up.
It is a joke. So I was behind the board yesterday. So we were all mm-hmm. actively paying attention to this as it was coming out.
Right.
First joke was how they released it on the Today Show. Couldn't even see who was on it. Second joke was when I did get it, I see Jason Robertson's not on it. And I'm thinking to myself, this is in fact probably one of, if not the premier USA hockey players, right? He's not. How? I don't get it.
You
I don't
lost
get it.
By one goal in a game that would go to overtime and could not solve the Rubik's Cube of Jordan Binnington. You left five of the top 10 American goal scorers
mm-hmm.
home.
Yep.
Now I do understand why some of them are home. Redundancy of a good is probably not a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That said,
there are some that are inexplicable.
There are some that are inexplicable on both the roster itself and the players that are not on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And while it was interesting, like Alex Tuck would have been that perfect kind of like bottom six type of role type player for Team USA. They go in other directions. I'll tell you right now, I'd rather have Alex Tuck than JT Miller.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm not going to argue with that.
Nope, but he was in a group text with the Kachucks about fighting people right away for the Four Nations game. So we got to keep him, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Spare me.
It is a joke.
It is to a point where we were talking a lot about this off air, but Owen Parker brought it up on air.
Mm-hmm.
How Team USA with the Miracle on Ice has really kind of held back the United States in Olympic play for so long. Because they want to be the gritty, the underdogs, the
hungry dog runs faster. They wanna be Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, always.
That's what they want to be.
And it's been forever ingrained in Team USA's hockey decision-making. And the first place it took me back to was the World Cup of Hockey. An incredible tournament where you finished worse than the collective of Europe.
Your face right now is making me laugh. Just the deadpan stare I'm receiving from across the room. It is a joke.
You finished worse than most teams, actually, because you felt the need to skate Justin Abdelkader out there.
Hey, come on.
Stanley Cup champion that he may be, that's not a player you put on international roster. It's not. Maybe that's why a lot of players skip out on the world championships here. Because we want to play Justin Abdelkader in the World Cup of Hockey.
Yeah.
We want to play JT Miller, where he's clearly washed now, because Chris Drury needs to have his guys on the roster. Oh, wait, you left the wrong one home. Because Adam Fox is not on the roster.
It's a shame.
Let's leave Jason Robertson off of it because short guy, ew, do not like.
He's 5'9", okay? Stop with the short stuff, all right? I'm 5'10". I don't like hearing that.
Well, again, that's what they're thinking, not me.
But, again, the points Robertson scores. So what if he's short? How is he not on the Olympic roster?
By the way, Robertson's not short, actually.
What are we looking at here?
He's not even close, actually.
Is he like 6'2"?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yes.
6'2"?
Sorry. 6'3". How do you not get a...
It's like 6'5 on skates, right? Ish? 6'4 and a half?
This is getting all the more weird.
We can't actually... Here's the thing.
This is getting all the more baffling.
This is gonna have, you know, whatever. I'm not a decision maker. Whatever. They can't be too good, right? Is that the mentality? we can't be too good here. We gotta keep it sane.
We gotta keep it gritty.
Yeah, we want to have to fight and claw and scratch our way to the top. We don't want to just be on the top. It's like when you're racing go-karts at the fun center or whatever, like around your local town, Adventure Landing. I got the fast kart, but I'm going to hit the brakes a little bit around the turns because, you know what? I want some competition. I want you to feel like you're right behind me. But in actuality, if I actually was going to try, if I was actually going to do it, I'd be laps ahead of you. You'd be getting lapped. So maybe that's the mentality.
You know who's not scared of putting the best players on their roster?
Oh, Canada.
Canada.
Mm-hmm. And they're also not scared of not having any defense because they're just going to outscore you. That seems to be their game plan.
They have made the conscious decisions of taking Sam Bennett off the roster in favor of Tom Wilson. And Wilson, the notoriety that he has, is on par with Bennett. The physicality that he has is on par with Bennett. You know the difference between Wilson and Bennett, though? One's a more consistent hockey player who can get you points.
Very true. Very, very true.
He's trusted with first-line minutes now in Washington, and it's because he's able to help put the puck in the back of the net. That's not an accident. They've got 19-year-old Macklin Celebrini. They're not scared of putting a teenager into the Olympics.
Nope.
Why? They're the best players that they have. Nick Suzuki, a new addition. Horvat puts the puck in the net. Marner assists on the game winner. Obviously, Marner was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I have a question with is Anthony Cirelli, but he's still a very good player with Tampa. Hagel is another one that I'm like, okay, interesting. There's three Lightning players, so I feel like John Cooper did have a little bit of a pull on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really the only sign of evidence of pull on the roster.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. But those are also still good players.
Right. It's
they're not trying to outgrit you.
No.
And it is.
They want to make it more difficult for themselves. I think we're there.
Sure.
I think we've arrived.
Can't be that
easy, right?
And if on January 3rd my words come back to haunt me a month and change later, so be it. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to be because their roster construction was good. It's because their goalies are better.
Right.
You have Hellebuck, you have Ottinger, you have Swayman. And those players are consistently very good at bailing teams out.
It's a little tough for me to even wrap my head around, like just sitting here kind of like looking at the roster and thinking about it. Why not build a better roster? Why not build the best roster? You have the talent at your disposal.
That's the thing.
To do it.
U.S. now has talent that can be,
yes,
at its best on par.
And that's where, like I said, I'm frustrated. I'm looking at it. What world would Robertson not be on the roster? It just makes no sense. It makes no sense. And listen, I'm a big Olympics guy through and through, whether it be the swimming, the hockey, at winter and summer, right?
Yeah.
I love even watching the skeleton where they fly down the hill in the one-person bobsled. That stuff's awesome. But for Team USA not to represent the best of the best, right, for them not to put their best roster forward, Paul is right. It is a joke. There's no reason they couldn't do that. They could have built the most talented roster, I think.
And that's, like, Robertson's the shining icon for this. I thought he was short. No, he's not. He's actually even close to 6'3". But it is their philosophical choice to continue to cede spots to your role player types as if none of these guys can do it is hilarious to me. And by the way, you still left a player off that could have been a bottom six player for you in Alex Tuch.
Yep. And Paul, I think Paul's right on the you could have. Alex Tuch being the two-way player that he is, he absolutely could have been on that roster. But also, you mentioned he doesn't go to the world events, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like the kind of that'll do that. But he definitely had a place on the roster.
And you have goal scorers. And this is where I say short guy don't like ew, which is how they think. I shouldn't be thinking this because I'm calling it out.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Caulfield and Alex Brinkett are two of the five players that are amongst your top 10 in Americans in scoring that were left off of this. Robertson the third, by the way. They left five players out of the top 10 in Americans in goal scoring. But Caulfield and DeBrincat are 5'8", don't like. Bill Guerin, you're clearly going to be the acumen of a genius here, apparently.
Yeah, watch it work, man.
Well, I mean,
watch it work.
I watched him talk to the locker room at the World Juniors, and they promptly got kicked out by the Finns.
You know, that'll happen from time to time. Can't judge off of one happening like that, right?
Well, apparently they can. Because they didn't like Adam Fox and the Four Nations, apparently.
It is a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah.
It's cheek worthy.
And you know what? That segment's coming up next year on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly. We'll talk to Travis Yost, by the way, at noon, going over a little bit more of this, as well as the Sabres on a tear. And we'll get a little bit of the national perspective of this from Travis Yost. I mean, one might say even international perspective on this from Travis Yost, coming up at 12 o'clock here on Sports Talk Saturday. I'm feeling irritable from my favorite sport. We just spent an entire segment about Team USA.
We did.
And
we gave them more time than they deserve.
Oh, wow. That's
selections like that, aside from Tage Thompson.
Well, yes, we're still always going to be happy that Tage Thompson is an Olympian. He's not the only one, and that's always good. But, yeah, no, But the NHL, not to be outdone, putting the Winter Classic in Florida.
Yeah, that was bad. As mentioned, it looks like an abandoned supermarket it was inside of.
A cinematographic choice.
Yeah, don't let whoever decided to do that ever again. I think we're there.
Yeah, and
a lot of questionable decision making in the NHL,
in
Team USA, and all of hockey.
Hockey people, get out of your own way, mm-hmm. Seriously.
Yeah, we just have a habit of that.
But it's still one of those things where, like, I don't know, man. You don't need the Stanley Cup champion hosting these things if the weather does not let it happen.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you've had instances where, like, ready? It looked better with Nashville and Dallas.
Tells you a lot.
Miami is just not a state where you can pull this off on the regular.
No.
And the other thing, and more importantly, I think, to this is, do you remember when the Winter Classic was their only game of the day?
Yeah, they had regular games, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Again.
Why? They did that last year. I remember this was a cheek last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
You're just taking away the entire point of a classic by having multiple games on the same day. It's not must-see television. I think they might be admitting that by putting other games on. It's not must-see television.
And if it's not must-see television, then what are we doing here?
Yeah, exactly.
Their failure of marketing continues to baffle me. And
failure is an understatement, in all seriousness.
Like, it's okay to allow new fans into hockey. It is.
Right. You don't have to have the old guard only. You know?
Like, that...
It's tough for people to break through. It genuinely is.
And it's because of hockey culture. Because of hockey curmudgeon-y.
I don't know how you don't look at your first Winter Classic being played at Ralph Wilson Stadium at the time, now mm-hmm. Highmark Stadium. And in the final year of its existence, you're not like, run it. In Buffalo, it would have been in the snow, right?
Well, the Sabres, I understand awesome. Why they aren't hosting it right now. They have been, up until literally this point, bad.
Sure. But
you
still.
You don't need to put that on national television.
They do.
No.
They put it on ESPN all the time.
But.
That is. And TNT.
But. That doesn't mean it's a good decision. Now the Sabres are more marketable right now. They're hot. there are plenty of other cities that you can keep doing this with. You could have went for the like 18th time to Chicago for this.
I would have loved to see him at PNC Park where the Pirates play.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
The Penguins play.
That skyline in Pittsburgh, that'll do wonders for you. I take a trip down there once a year, pretty much, to watch a baseball game.
Okay, so I'm just looking up the past stadiums of the Winter Classic. So obviously it starts at Ralph Wilson Stadium. Wrigley Field, Fenway Park, Heinz Field, Great Decisions, Citizens Bank Park in Philly, the Big House in Michigan. That was a great idea, actually. Nationals Park in D.C., Gillette Stadium, gross, only because it's the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Busch Stadium in St. Louis, Citi Field. So you could go to Yankee Stadium at some point there.
That'd be a good one.
South Bend, Indiana. I might despise Notre Dame, but the stadium's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
The Cotton Bowl, which was Texas, and they made that more aesthetically pleasing than Florida did, mind you. Fenway Park, smart. Again. Then Seattle, with T-Mobile Park. And then Wrigley Field again. Mm-hmm. Again, smart. I like the idea of neutral locations.
Yes. Let's not give any home ice or home field advantage, right?
Right.
Make it a real national thing and have fans of every team show up to just watch the Winter Classic.
Yes, because, ready? I know that Chicago's relatively close to South Bend, Indiana, but, you know, it's Indiana. I do like the idea of, like, try to make it something like that where you can get a neutral location.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's about the history of another place.
Well, it's like the Super Bowl, right? It's not. Right. It's not. The Winter Classic, I'm not saying that, because I know someone's going to call in and be like, Winter Classic is not a Super Bowl. But
the NHL's bad at getting out of their own way.
Yeah, as we've alluded to.
Yes. And then, of course, before we go, because we got to get to Travis Yost here. Bill Guerin and Chris Drury.
Yes.
Also on the Booty Cheek of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, we'll talk to Travis Yost, see what he's thinking about the Sabres on their 10-game bender, as well as his thoughts on the Olympic roster that has been released for not just Team USA, Team Canada, and the rest of the world.